Welcome to One Final Scare. This is Tracy.
And I'm Minky.
And we're two creatives by day, film buffs by night, who share a certain love of horror movies and debating each other.
That's right.
Thanks for tuning in to hear us retell every gory detail of a horror film where we dissect its meaning, review it, and try to have some laughs along the way. What's happening?
Gently.
Hold on.
Tracy, gently.
Hold on.
What do you mean, hold on? I'm recording.
I'm trying to bring my trusty computer up. You know, I need it. It's like a baby blanket.
It's a shit show.
Are we recording?
Yes.
Oh, hi.
Gently, very gently.
I'm very carefully holding this microphone in my hand with duct tape on it. Because duct tape fixes everything.
Why are you putting our business out there?
What everybody needs to know that we will record by any means necessary.
Oh, my God.
It's a little Easter egg. It's a little inside joke that we'll fill you in on later in the episode.
It was a trek coming out here, Trace. Now I know what you have to endure. Although you're used to driving on the 210.
On the 210? I literally, you make it sound like it's a huge highway or whatever. I mean,
guys,
it is. But
you guys, I don't know what you guys are doing with your tax money, but you need to fix them roads.
There's a lot of holes in that road.
Man.
You know, every night I would either go into work or come home and there'd be at least 2 to 3 cars on the shoulder with a flat tire. So I know where they're all at now. And I'm pretty much like dodging them like a video game.
It was jarring, like tooth jarring.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So what's up? What have you been up to?
Everybody, actually. So I just made another short film for the 48 hours, the 2018. And we decided to use my house for the location. So literally everybody had to make their way from D.C. All the D.C.ites had to come to my house. Yeah. And everybody got here. Of course, they're all like young.
D.C.ites. They're called Washingtonians.
And they were all like, why does she live so far? And then I was like.
They were all like that?
They were all like, oh, my God. And then, you know, they actually had to leave pretty late that night. So I was like, please drive safely and slowly and don't get a ticket because there's cops. Do not speed home, by the way. And there is a camera, a speed trap camera. But there's literally
cops
everywhere.
Were they more sympathetic to you?
I don't know. I think
the hurdles
everyone just thinks
that
I'm
you
crazy.
Have to overcome to come to work.
To come to work, yeah, probably. Sympathetic? I don't know. I think everybody just thinks I'm crazy, but maybe not.
It's given.
I'm a little crazy. I had a whole crew out here this past weekend, and it was really fun, and we made a little 48-hour film project or movie.
Did certain blonde person get on front of the camera, or was she in the back? Was she a crew helping out?
Erin was an actress in this film this year.
Ugh, I'm not watching it.
She did so good. She did. She played a robot in our movie, the one that you and I made how many years ago now? Three, two, something
sex
like that.
Droid.
What is sex?
Droid.
What is sex?
Sex droid.
Sex droid?
That's what she was, basically, right?
I mean, it was a dating. She wasn't like a robot prostitute.
Eventually, it was going to go there.
What about Jeff?
Part two. Yeah,
he was my husband's robot characters.
He was also a sex droid.
A sex droid. I think it was not a sex droid, but but maybe that is how your guy friends wrote it, because it was all like the boys club writing that story. Which, by the way, whenever I share that movie, it's like the guys that I share it with are like, oh, I love your droid movie. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm like,
see?
I'm repulsed.
Right. That's what I was saying.
It's like the worst story
ever. I knew that's where I was going. Yeah.
It's so bad.
It's the subtext of the movie.
But this year's movie, there was no boys club happening. So I made a movie that I wanted to make. Just kidding. It was really fun.
No, it wasn't, because if it was, it would have blood and gore. It would have death.
There is death.
That's true.
In it.
But like a legit horror, you know?
Well, we pulled.
So don't raise your eyebrows. I mean, go.
Makeupless
eyebrows.
Leave my makeupless alone. So we pulled, you know how I've explained you have to pull a genre out of the hat? So we pulled either time travel or mystery. Fucking time travel again.
You told me this already. We have to go over it.
Well, I'm telling the people. So we went with mystery. So I didn't pull a horror, but we made it a dramatic mystery. It's a very deep drama. Lots of emotion. We've made people cry.
Cool.
The premiere is next Friday. You're going to come.
I'm being honest. Okay.
Okay.
I can't. No, I'm kidding. I'm gonna try. I'm not being honest.
All of these times I've watched your sketch comedy.
Yeah. That is actually a really good point you can bring up against me.
Yeah,
I'm going to try to come.
Okay, cool.
Bring tomatoes.
Bring tomatoes?
I'm going to
you
bring
better not.
Rotten tomatoes.
Bring flowers.
Throw at the screen.
But yes, so, your girl Aaron's in it. And Aaron. And then I didn't cast myself in it this year. I purposely wanted real actors. I mean, Aaron's not a real actress, but she did she did a good job. Aaron, props to you, girl. But yeah, we had two theater actors in it this year, which I was super stoked about. So I
know. So last episode we talked about reviewing
A Quiet Place, which we promised would be the next episode.
We did watch it.
We did. But it's been so long now.
There's something I want to clarify.
Please.
Because we made some strong
promises. Suggestions
and predictions.
Yes. Mainly you. You're cynical.
Roll the tape back.
Roll the tape. I'm pretty sure it was more you. Because you were like, things that have such high publicity or whatever, it's like made for the masses and it's not actually going to be good,
and
right?
Tracy goes, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I agreed with you, but you put it out there. I didn't say it. I don't know. Whatever. But.
I on the record.
Yeah, record.
I was wrong.
I was too.
It was really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So audience.
I was angry. They were so good.
Friends, family. If you haven't seen it, go see it. I'm actually taking my mom and Jeff to go see it again tomorrow because I went with some friends.
Jeff hasn't seen it?
No. So.
I think you'll like it.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah. I just was. Yeah. I just took a breath. I was still chilled to the bones over the movie. No, I mean, in all honesty, it's not like it was the best movie of all time.
No,
but
I think it was
really good.
I think it was unexpectedly surprising.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I went in with low expectations.
Yeah.
And I was pleasantly surprised.
I was too. And the acting
it's aliens,
in it.
It's aliens, right?
What?
It's aliens.
You keep saying that. I mean.
It's alien.
I don't know. I tend to do that,
and,
right?
And I'm, signs. I'm
Signs.
I like Signs. A lot of people hate that movie.
I love Signs.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I don't
Signs.
Understand the hate. I don't get it.
I don't either. So that movie, I always said they should never have shown the aliens, but then you wouldn't have had that scene where it's like, swing away, you know, and all the water and shit. But
the water. Oh, the swing away.
And the little girl like left all the water out because she's like, it's contaminated. I think if they hadn't have shown the aliens, just if the alien took me out of the whole great story and the family drama that, you know, ensued.
Oh, you're kidding. I love that alien
part. Oh, I didn't really. No, the only alien part I liked was when it walks past
the
little kids. Yeah, that was good.
That was good.
But this movie.
I liked it at the ending as well.
You and I always talk about CGI and how bad it is and like monsters and how stupid they look. This monster was pretty good.
Yeah.
In A Quiet Place.
Yes.
I thought it was good. It was creepy.
They had to, right?
Yeah.
It was all about them.
They brought it.
It was, you know, it was a little gimmicky, but but it was good.
But let's not talk anymore about
it. I had some major questions.
Don't.
Scenes.
Don't. Just stop
right
there.
I don't get it. Where did that come
from? Be quiet. Be quiet and stay in your place. I think we will cover it.
Stay
though.
In my place.
I was trying to.
I know. I know.
Come on, get with the program. So tomorrow I'll go see it on Mother's Day with my moms and Jeff, and we'll come back and we will do it. But and this will give you guys a little bit more time to go see it, because if you haven't already and you don't want us to spoil it, you should go see it and then come back and listen to us talk about it. But today's movie. So basically,
I think most people have seen it.
Maybe I don't know. Minky came down all the way to Waldorf, Maryland, to come and record in my kitchen. Mm. And as I said, we by any means necessary set up the equipment to record.
We had some technical
little bit
glitch because of me. Because I forgot a mic wire.
But you know what? We sound okay right now, and nobody needs to know how long it took us to set up. But before that,
you might have a hiccup. You might
just let's not.
Glitch up. I'm jinxing it.
My duct tape is going to work. Okay. And we watched a movie together. And basically, I just Googled a couple, you know, articles about like great movies that you can find online right now. So we actually found a movie called Downrange, not Downwind. Minky keeps calling it Downwind.
It's just I think it would be a better movie if it was called Downwind.
It's like when everyone just has farting. Gas just and
farting.
It just
the whole movie
blows the whole town
hour
away.
And a half of people just farting.
It's a commentary.
It would be a better movie then.
It's a commentary on a
what
carbon? What is it? Dioxide that comes out of the methane carbon, gas that comes.
No,
I think it's dioxide, right? CO2. What is methane gas?
We're not scientists over here.
It's the poop gas that comes out in the belches from cows.
Maybe you're right. I don't know. Sulfur. Oh my God. It
smells like sulfur.
We're showing our...
If you're a scientist and have a commentary on...
It was showing our ignorance.
Factory farms. You want to talk about it with us? We can talk about that another time. But anyway, this movie is called Downrange, and it was a 2017 film, so it came out last year. And it was made by, I'm going to probably sadly butcher his first name.
No,
but
Ryuhei.
Ryuhei.
Mm-hmm.
Kitamura?
Yeah.
Did I do that okay?
Yeah, I think it's like Kitamura, right?
Kitamura? We have some listeners, it looks like, by our heat map of in our stats that we've got some folks listening in Japan. So if you feel like emailing us and telling us that we did that really terribly, please do.
A lot of people.
It's onefinalscare@gmail.com.
You should say hi.
Would you please stop talking over me at the same exact time? Everything I'm saying. You were doing this while we were watching the movie, too.
I'm sorry.
Email us at onefinalscare@gmail.com if you want to say hi to us. We'd love to know who you are because you're listening to us quite a bit.
You're not going
to
say welcome in Japanese.
Go right ahead. I'll let you do it.
Next time. Next time we'll look it up.
Next time. I'll just play it off of Google here. Anyway, so this director, the only thing that I know of his that I saw was, oh God, when was that made? Like 2008, Midnight Meat Train.
Oh yeah.
With Pretty Boy.
07? 07, 08?
Something. Yeah. What's his name?
Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper, yeah.
I call him Pretty Boy from Hangover because I can never remember his name. So Midnight Meat Train, I remember when that came out, there was a lot of hype around it. I think there was a lot of advertisement about it. And I got to tell you, I remember.
Really? I don't remember that.
There was.
Oh.
I think it's because of whatever channel it was shown on. I just remember it was like really hyped up. I definitely watched it. I remember Bradley Cooper's.
At home?
I did. I watched it at home.
Okay.
I feel like it came right to TV. I don't remember being out in theaters. But Bradley Cooper's character, I just remember he kind of spirals down and you know. He's a photographer that's willing to kind of go to lengths to capture anything, which I think he's capturing like a serial killer doing bad things on the train at night. And I can't really remember where it ends. I don't think I superbly loved it, but, you know, I think I gave it some stars for having kind of a...
Some stars?
Some stars just for giving a new, kind of a new story, you know? Midnight Meat Train. It's like the cheesiest title ever, but... so this movie actually, so he's got another movie out that, what's it called? No One Lives. Kitamura has another movie called No One Lives, and that was made a handful of years ago too, but that's also on Shudder, which is where we saw this. And it's funny cause I read the synopsis of that movie. Clearly he has like this thing, one Midnight Meat Train, right? It's like people getting killed while on a train, right? Like a subway. Mm-hmm. Then No One Lives, as I read about it, it says something like a gang of ruthless killers kidnap a couple while driving cross country and then things aren't what they seem. All right. So you got people driving cross country and getting, I don't know, kidnapped by some ruthless killers, mm-hmm. some gang of mm-hmm. ruthless killers. Then the movie we watched today, the plot line is pretty thin, but it's like six college, not friends, kind of like six college strangers all carpool together to get home for break. Yeah. And they're driving cross country to all go in the same direction. And they're, then the massacre ensues and we'll get to it. But he's got this theme of like people getting chopped up and murdered or shot or whatever while.
While what?
While driving or riding or
maybe,
whatever.
Maybe it's his like trilogy.
It's his thing.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the revenge. What's his name? Park Chan-wook's revenge trilogy.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like that.
It's like he's got this theme. And he's got other movies. So I didn't really read about what those are about. But I wonder if this is just some like...
Transportation horror.
That's what I'm saying. It's like transportation horror. What's next? Like the helicopter ride. Yeah.
Transportation horror. Sounds funny.
It's like you got nature horror. You got supernatural horror. This is like all transportation-based horror.
Rush Hour should be transportation.
Actually,
horror.
You know what's fucking hilarious?
What?
Okay. I read that... he was offered the job to direct the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, but he turned it down, citing a poor script.
There's no like murder.
It's like, right. Oh, no, he's like, you know what? Sucks. You had me at car driving fast, but if no one died, actually, I wonder if somebody does die in Tokyo Drift. I never saw that one.
I saw it. Yes. Oh, well, yes.
See?
Someone does die.
Somebody does die. Don't
eventually, they? You don't find out till later, oh, but yeah.
Okay. Well, but it wasn't a murder, right?
It is.
I'm surprised. See, he should have put his name on that. It could have been another transportation murder movie.
You know that Fast and the Furious, they play with time, right? Like the movies are all out of order.
Oh, yeah.
So when that movie came out, certain scenes happen and you think it's an accident. It is an accident. That's how it's written.
Yeah.
But when they resurrected a bunch of other series, they're like, how are we going to... plug in this plot hole. Oh, you find out, it was murder.
Oh, like, yeah. So really quick, just to let you know a little bit about this guy as we dive into the movie, so that you can kind of get a visual sense or a mental sense of what we were seeing visually. He is known for kind of his offbeat camera angles, his, as is described in IMDb, his hyperkinetic camera movement. And his over the top.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah. And he does that a lot. Yeah. He did it in like quite a few scenes to bring it to life a little bit more kind of stylistically. Or I don't know, can't speak.
It was. Did you say jarring?
I would say they didn't say jarring, but it was jarring.
It is jarring.
Yeah. He does it on purpose to create a tone.
But yeah.
He's also known for over the top and bombastic action sequences, which, yes. I mean, this is like, there were moments that was totally like an action movie, if you will. And then also his dark and edgy tone. I would say yes to all of these things in this movie.
But not in a good positive way.
Well, it's just kind of all he has, kind of a little bit. I don't know. I think he needs to put as much time into his casting.
Storytelling. No. That too.
Casting. Yeah. And as he does in, like, we watched a video about his composer. And his composer, so my friend Josh did our music for this film. And I know Josh would, like, love how much this guy, don't give me that look, how much this guy, like, literally, Minky, you weren't watching it, he pulled the letters from downrange and assigned like a key on the piano to each of those letters, and he created he literally was creating music with the letters from downrange. And then they made every sound that a gun, they had this arsenal of guns, and they were like, because a gun is a very huge part of this movie, they recorded every sound of like a bullet dropping, or, you know, the bolt action from a bolt action rifle kind of clicking into place, or shooting, and da 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 da. And he used this as part of his composition and his original score. And they go on and on about all the depth in this.
It's so forgettable.
And I'm like, all of his little tricks. Well, I'm like, as much as you want to put into these like hidden nuggets that no one else is really going to know, you should be putting this into finding the better, like better actors
story.
And putting a better story together. It's all bombastic action sequences and gore and
those insightful, like, behind the scenes stories or would be extra delightful if the movie was good.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But you can't put that as upfront and be like, we're spending all of this time on this score that which was forgettable, first of all.
So I know, like what? You know what?
Music?
The only thing that's not forgettable because And so, like, let's get into it, because the very beginning is, it starts out with a bang, no pun intended, where there's literally like a wide shot of literally a desolate road and a car blows a tire. And you go, you said it. You go,
this is the best what?
Well,
best
no, but opening. You were like, oh, was the tire shot out? Like, that was your first guess.
Yeah,
and then boom, the music starts and it's like, pow. Pow, 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 pow. So it's like he uses gunshots in the very beginning of the film's score, which totally kind of gives it away right then and there.
Okay. After we're done with this, I have to show you SNL sketch with gunshots and all that.
Okay.
It just reminds me of that.
Okay. So basically, let's go from there, because the movie starts
That's how it starts. It opens with a tire exploding
and the car swerves and out comes, as Minky is literally counting, he's like, okay, how many characters, bump up up,
there's
up, there's six. And it was very multicultural group.
I don't know why I counted. That's weird, right? That was like, how many are there?
You were very curious.
I was like the sniper. How many other six?
This was me. This was me. I'm looking. I'm like, okay, we got a white.
Oh, I noticed, like, that too.
We got this. We got the token black guy, I said. And you go, no Asians. I was like, well, that guy could be Asian. And you were like, not East Asian.
It's a weird. But he wasn't. No, even, I know. Yeah.
And then we were Asian. Like, maybe he's Latino.
Because he kind of looked Indian, right? Is that why you said that?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And but then, like, when you start to get to know the character and you find out his name later, it's like, okay, he's clearly Latino.
There's three men, three women.
Three men, three women.
All the women are basically sort of same, right? They were all white, right? Except that one girl.
The one looks like she's a little
American Indian, maybe, or Hispanic.
She's just darker hair, darker features. So yeah, it's hard to tell.
Her complexion.
Skin was a little more olive. So what I noticed is, like, okay, we've ticked the box, which I was like, oh, is this really a group of friends? And we're just, like, trying to tick the box of all the diversity in the world. But no, actually, we find out very, very quickly that this is a group of, as I said, strangers. There's only a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and then everybody else is a stranger to one another. And they immediately, the exposition is laid on so thick, it made me so ill. I even said to you, I was like, oh my God, the most lamest exposition ever. It was like the girl, as the second they all unload out of the car, the only one person got hurt in the swerve. She hit her head on a window. So they're like, ice it. The one girl gets out of the car and she takes a selfie. She's like, let's do a selfie, as, like, everybody's trying to get the spare tire out of the back. And she's literally, like, typing in to a friend as she's trying to get a signal and post this picture
on some weird social media.
On some fake social media shit. And she tags her boyfriend in it, who we said was the guy that was either Asian or Latino. But she tags him as carpooling with these, you know, after trying to get home from college or whatever. She was like, with, and she tags Todd Acosta, which, P.S., we read the Easter nugget. Egg. It's so funny to me. Again, it's like deep Easter eggs that this director loves. Todd Acosta apparently is very similar to the Spanish words of a todo costa, which means by any means, which, hello, guess what Mr. Kitamura's next movie is called?
Any Means Necessary.
Means to an End. Very close. So, as I said, the exposition is so friggin' lame that she's literally posting this photo, and then a friend comments on it immediately, right? Because that's what people do. They're just sitting and waiting for people's posts to come up. And she goes, oh, how's it going? And
then she goes,
right, she goes, oh, so far so good. She was like, all the strangers are pretty cool because they all brought their own gas money. And then the friend goes, no weirdos? And she's like, no, not so far. And by the way, she tagged the location as BFE, which I don't think Minky knew what that stood for.
I didn't.
Bumfuck Egypt.
Yeah.
And
are you proud of that, knowing that?
No, I'm not. But I'm like, where is the college that these kids are coming from? And where the fuck are they driving that they got to go through nowhere, no man's land?
Now that you've seen the whole movie.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think it mattered whether the characters knew each other or not, or if they were strangers?
No, not at all.
Right?
And honestly, like, I don't even think I've ever seen a movie where, I guess, like, the director or the writer tried so hard to make these people strangers. And even if they were, like, it made me feel less compassionate for them. And aren't you supposed to?
That's what I'm saying.
Or empathetic, right? Or sympathetic, or
sympathetic,
whatever.
Yeah.
Why did they have to be such nameless characters? And truly, we're not even saying anyone's names. Only Todd Acosta, because it was tagged in that stupid post.
Yeah.
You don't know anyone else's name the whole time.
It's on IMDb.
I mean, right. But they don't use the names. And there's actually a moment where the one guy goes, God, what was that guy's name? Like,
let's finish.
Yeah.
Describing the. Because we didn't finish describing the people, right? Okay. Three girls, three white girls.
Three
right?
girls.
And then three
generally
guys.
Generally white.
The three guys were clearly different. All three of them were different. We had the jock.
Yeah.
Big, muscular, white jock.
Right.
Then we had like
a huge guy, too. He was like taller by 10 inches.
They were like
10 inches.
Caricatures, right? And they had, it was a black guy, nerdy, like black guy.
Yeah.
Who has a crush on one of the girls.
But they never...
That never went anywhere.
No, not at all. And the big, like, muscular guy, like, said something nice to the redhead, who winds up being the main character, if you will, in a way. And he says just one nice thing that she, like, remembers later. And then she's all like, oh, he was so nice. It's like they were. I was like, why do we always have to force this weird, like, relationship between people?
Yeah.
And then, so
they were all, and it was like all paired up. They were all paired up.
Right. They were all paired up. And then the boyfriend of the girl that was posting the selfie, obviously, who was the, you know, what? The Latino, Todd Acosta, basically.
Latino. He was like a skinny Latino guy.
So they all pile out of the car. And like I said, only one of the girls, as I said to you before, is kind of who winds up being the main girl, if you will. She bumps her head, head's bleeding. They're like, put ice on it.
Was it bleeding?
No, you're right. It was just bumped.
It was just bumped.
And, and,
yeah. And everyone broke up into little groups.
And
right?
It was really only to show us that the men were going to try to handle the tires, and the women were all just going to stand around trying to be sexy in the heat.
Well, that one girl was attending to the girl with ice, and the other girl was trying to get connection on her phone the whole time.
So again,
and send the photos to all of them.
Like, selfie, do you want it? I'll send it to me. Send that to me too. Yeah, send it to me.
It was only to show that they weren't getting any cell phone connection.
Unless she walked far away.
Right. That was the only reason.
So it was all just to set up the story. Things happen pretty quickly. They go into very, very little backstory, but they only go into, basically they're like,
paint the picture of where they are, the location.
Right. The location, as the one girl gets a signal for a moment, she can see that there's something called like Mom and Pop's Garage, about a 30-minute walk away. And they go, should we just walk? And they were like, well, if we walk there, if we get help, if we walk back, that'll be over an hour. It'll probably put us all back at home after dark. And then they go, does anyone have any, events to get to tonight? And only one of the six do, and it's the what I call the main girl. And she goes, it's my sister's birthday. I have to be there for the surprise. I have to see her face. And she
has so much disdain in your look right now.
She goes, rather, she has to see mine. So it's literally the only story that they build at all for any of the people. Yeah. And it's such a thin one
everyone goes to birthday parties.
Yeah. It's not like your sister's like dying of cancer and I need to get to her tonight. No, it's a fucking birthday party.
Well, it's just because the person, her sister, and the relationship is non-existent for us, right?
Right.
So you can't expect us to feel sympathetic towards you.
Like, she's got to get to that birthday party.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So she's like, I really need to be there. And that's when the hot, big, muscular guy looks at her and he goes, you have to be there. And I'm like, he would not give a fuck if she got there.
And well, the acting, the delivery, a lot of these lines
were so bad.
They're so bad.
I mean, I've seen worse. Dracula 3000 acting was way worse, but this was.
But I feel like they knew what they were shooting, right? They're like, they knew this movie was going to be wacky.
I think what I noticed was
I'm talking about Dracula 3000.
Oh, right, sure. Yeah. This movie, I think what I given coming off of filming a short film this weekend, you were like, do you think that they filmed this whole movie? I know, right? You were like, do you think they filmed this whole movie in one day? And I think you and I both realized halfway through like they did. I have this strong, very strong sense that these actors did not have much rehearsal and they didn't really like the quick scenes that they had. It was like they were just spilling them out for the very first time. It was like they had rehearsed them in their own house. They showed up, they spit out their lines. It was like the worst delivery from everybody. It was like, okay, and action. And it was like, okay, that's the only scene you get, you know, or that was the only take you get to get it right. But anyway,
yeah, if they shot it in one day and they were fighting against time, even if they shot it in 2 days, right?
Yeah.
They were fighting against time, the sunlight, right? They have to match,
right,
and all that. So if that was the case, they probably didn't spend, like you were saying, a lot of time directing directors correcting them.
Yeah.
That's good enough. Let's move on. That type of thing, right?
Right.
Because there weren't that many dialogue in the movie.
That's
it was
what I'm saying.
Mostly action.
Yeah, so they weren't like trying to get real actual dialogue. And
the script must have been like 10 pages.
And
I'm
the script itself, like I said, the director definitely is not a college student because nobody talks like nobody that age would be talking the way that the script was written.
I mean, I don't know. I let that slide. I mean, I mean, it's tough, right?
Yeah.
Like, college kids can talk in different type of lingo or whatever. Not all college kids talk the same way. You know, you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Just had to let my dog back in. Sorry for all the interruptions today, guys. So basically, from there, we see one more thing that I think I don't even know, again, if I guess it's necessary, I guess it's not. But the girl that put makes the selfie post sees a pile of flowers and like old frames as if someone had gotten in a car accident there and loved ones came to kind of pay their respects, if you will. So
it's okay.
You know,
now looking back, it's even
foreshadowing.
More
ridiculous.
It's even more ridiculous because if something like that
don't
has happened.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away. It is truly ridiculous, but we'll talk about it. So anyhow, we start to split the group up. So we've got the one African American guy goes over to go pee in the woods. They're building tension because it's like they're purposefully kind of like pulling the camera away from him. It's like something's about to happen. We've got the meathead,
Do it for way too long.
They
by
did
the
for
way.
Really long time. Yeah. I call him the meathead. He wasn't tripped, but he big muscular guy. He's the one who's going to be like, I'm going to handle this. I'll change the tire. Everyone else decides to go sit on the other side of the car to get shade, as you know, the tire changing guys in this hot heat sun. And they're all sitting with their backs to the car on the ground, and they're all making fun about how long it's going to take them to fix this tire and if they're going to get home in time. As this guy's trying to fix the tire, which should have been a flat tire, which was pretty full of air, starts to roll away.
And I was like, what?
So lame.
Because they show the flat tire, and it was completely...
But then there's literally two full tires next to him.
Yeah, explosion. Yeah.
Yeah. So as the flat tire is rolling, he goes to like grab it, and when it falls down, an empty shell or a casing of a bullet falls out of the tire.
Yeah, it wasn't the shell. Empty shell. It wouldn't be where the tire was. It would be where the gun is. It was the...
I'm sorry. It was the bullet. See how much I know guns? I'm such an expert.
The gun was laying down next to the tire.
Sorry.
The sniper threw
I would die even harder if it was the empty casing. just bad storytelling in general.
You'd be like, oh, that's about right.
That's right. Yeah. So anyway, he's like, huh? And anyway,
how does it go?
He's like, huh? Huh? And this is where it's like so lame. And again, like for continuity purposes, impossible, because I think he's like standing up at this moment in time. And as the group is on the other side of the car, and as I said, the African-American guy's like done peeing, he starts to slowly walk back. The selfie girl, she hears the tire iron drop to the floor, the ground, and ching, ching. So she's like, oh, what?
What? How'd it go?
Ching, ching. What? That's just a tire iron dropping. Ting, ting. I don't know. What the fuck?
Ting, ting.
Ting, ting. Okay. So, actually, the way you cheers in French is like ching, ching. It is. It's weird.
Easy.
So, anyway, she hears the tire iron, and no one and everyone else is talking, but she goes to investigate. And when she walks around the side of the car, we see her through a gaping hole, a big, bloody, gaping, fleshy hole. Mm. And then the camera goes through the hole, and then it turns to show that there's a hole through the muscular guy's
jarring
head.
Camera and movement.
And P.S., this hole... I could fit my entire arm through. Like, I could fit my entire arm through it.
Your arm?
Yeah.
All right.
Right? You trying to say I have a fat arm? No, fuck. So, basically, what I'm trying to say is, this is the only gunshot that we're going to go through that blows a hole as big as it does out of this guy's head. All right? It's so big. She's standing there, and she cannot, like, get
her
own.
It was a whole, what do you call it? Prosthetic.
Body,
yeah.
Because they had a whole hole through this guy's head. And so basically she's standing there in total shock that she's trying to like get a scream out, but she can't. And the scene, as you said, goes on far too long.
This pacing, this should be quick.
Yeah,
These sequences that happens back to back.
Yeah.
But in reality, maybe it takes, I don't know, like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But it takes damn near 5 minutes,
and
10 minutes.
And then... finally, you see her hand, and you see a little bit of blood drop to her hand. So you know something happens with her. And that's when her boyfriend hears the tire rolling. And so he goes to get the tire. I don't even know why this tire is rolling. Honestly, it's the flat tire again. I have no clue.
That's what I said. Why is the tire rolling?
So he goes, hey, buddy. the tire's rolling, and he goes to go get it. And then as he turns around and is rolling it back towards this, his girlfriend is standing there.
This whole time.
And as he gets closer and closer and the build and the blood drips more, the camera pans up and it shows. And I said to you, I was like, it's going to be through her eyeball. And it was. But instead of making a big blown out hole like the first guy, it's just like her eyeball is like swollen and popping out of her face, kind of. And she turns, and it's this long, dramatic shot of, like, her pointing her bloody hand towards him, like, grasping, like, please help me. As she's standing up, by the way. So she's still alive as a bullet has gone through her back of her head and out through her eyeball. And then she's, like, looking, or maybe it didn't come through. Maybe it didn't go all the way through. Then he's like, oh, no, you know, and he's looking at her. And I'm like, how can he not see the body behind her? Which, by the way, that's what I wanted to say for continuity. When that guy was standing up and got shot, he was standing up. Then when she comes around and sees him, he's sitting down and he's not even leaning up against the car. He's got his back to the car, but he's not even leaning up. He's just sitting up totally still. Mm. And I was like, no, no, no way. No way would a body fall like that, period. So anyway, she, as you think maybe they'll connect, she gets hit again and some sharpshooter is basically picking them off from afar.
Yeah.
And he shoots her not anywhere else. He gets the exact same spot right through her eyeball again, and she falls to the ground.
So what Tracy is basically saying is
implausibility to the max.
The wounds are inconsistent throughout the movie. Sometimes it's like a cannon, and other times like a BB gun.
Yeah.
No, it's I'm not even joking.
No, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's true.
It's, yeah.
So how did he shoot her in the same spot twice and it didn't blow her head off?
Yeah. And then later on, it's even worse. Right?
And later on, it gets even worse.
And then, so this whole movie, as you listeners can get quickly, is that the whole movie is just a sniper hiding in the...
Don't say where.
You know, out in the yonder.
Yonder. Right? Up in yonder.
And then kids trying to survive.
Yeah,
that's
pretty much
the whole movie.
That's it. And there's no character build. And if anybody knows anything about a good story, there's usually a character that changes or transforms or grows or does something. None of that, really. There's maybe a little bit, and we'll get to that. And also, just no, there's no, that's just it.
We say this a lot in a lot of our episodes. Like, this would be decent if it was a short.
Yeah.
If it was condensed into like 10-15 minutes.
But what we know of the director now, it's like I said, there's so much like quick moments of just like action, you know, and then gore. And
it starts out as action.
Yeah, it starts out as an action movie. And then there's just these long moments of zero character building, right? And you're just waiting. And you could say maybe that was intentional, of like what it must feel like to just be waiting behind a car and trying not to get shot, but I don't know. I didn't feel as on the edge of my seat as I have with other movies, right? So in any case, let's keep going.
No, because we can guess what the plot is going to be.
I know. It's like it's not going to end well. You just know.
One of the whatever. There's going to be one survivor.
Well,
or two.
And you said right here, you go, who's going to be the final girl?
Yeah.
And our guess was a little wrong, and we won't tell you what our guess was. But so anyway, really quick, As soon as the girlfriend falls to the ground, there's a moment of stillness before everybody just
freaks
like
out.
Loses their shit, because all the girls have now gotten up to see what's happening. They're all standing around, and it's almost like, okay, hide, run. Like somebody actually yells it out loud. And the boyfriend of the dead girlfriend now, he gets shot in the shoulders. He's trying to bust around the truck to hide. The African-American guy gets he's far away. Remember, he was like in a tree line peeing. So he actually hides behind a stump, and he's separated from the group by literally the entire movie just by, I don't know, what do you want to say, like 30 feet maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So
that's about right.
He's stuck behind a stump the whole entire movie, this poor guy. That's his location shot the whole time. And they all kind of get to the other side of the car. The other ones do. The let's see, that's two girls and one guy. Yeah, that's it. So two girls and one guy are on the other side of the car. And then shots just open. Like the sniper is just like shooting.
Which is also inconsistent after we find out.
We find out he's got
How do we find out, though?
What?
How do we find out that he's got an old gun?
Okay, but let's just get there. So he's shooting, bam, 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 bam. And at some point you can tell there. I mean, obviously,
feels like there's multiple people.
Yeah, it feels like there's multiple people. At some point you realize he did have a silencer on, which is why nobody heard the guy get shot in the beginning or the girl. But he takes the silencer off, and then it is like he's opening up the. He's trying to get better velocity, as we find out from one of the
girl who has knowledge.
Right, this knowledgeable
chick. She's like. She's the character that carries, like...
Well, let's fill it in when we get there. Oh,
it's almost there. We're almost
I know
there.
It's almost there. Hold on, let me make sure. So, well, anyway, so all these shots mean that they all drop to the floor. They all get on the other side of the car, and the girl with the head bump, like, falls to the ground. And when she sees the guy under the car, like, his body slumps finally to the ground, she freaks the fuck out.
She has a weak mental strength.
She's so weak.
She freaks out.
And runs. And,
I mean, like, or freezes or freaks.
No, she, like, runs away from the truck, though. The other girl's like, get back here.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're gonna die. And so the girl, like, you know, comes back to the truck. And then when she gets back to the truck, that's when her head is bleeding. And she's, like, panicking. And the other girl goes, it's okay, you just got grazed. So the sniper did hit her, but...
Yeah,
where
she, like, freaks out.
I mean, like, who would freak out from just getting grazed?
No, she was like, like, it just starts to yell.
Yeah. That's probably plausible.
And lose her mind.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now we've got a time lapse. We're now further in the future after they've been sitting in quiet for a while. A
few minutes, maybe.
And and this is the exposition moment for the chick that Minky was about to say. So the hotter chick, if you will. She starts going into, you know, I grew up around guns. I was raised in a hunting family. Yeah. I hunted when I was a kid. And I was like, oh, sound like me. Okay. And then, but then
the
this
shells
is her.
Are by the tires. And
right. I know. Shut up. But then this is her. You know, he had a silencer on, but he took it off because he wasn't getting good velocity. You can tell by the bullet holes here in the car.
Oh, my God.
It must have been, like, drifting down, and so he took it off. But it's not going to go through this side of the car, you know, after it enters the first side. So we're safe as long as we stay on this side. She goes, also, it must be an antique gun. And I was like, what in the serious shit is going on right now? Like, is she the gun whisperer?
look, There are characters like that in movies. I get it. I think they're called, like, the explainers or whatever.
Yeah, it's
the
exposition. Exposition
but
angel.
Those
I
characters
think, right?
in movies, like, they are introduced as that, right? And then we get why they're so expert at their whatever their expertise is. But we had no idea this girl has, like, hunting background.
No.
And then she's just, like, taking over. And she had this, like.
Just a sensibility about her, how to survive.
Yeah. And I was like, this is the final girl. Okay. She's going to fight back.
All right.
You know, I told you.
I know, but we already said the person that we thought was a final girl wasn't, so now we just gave that away. All right. So basically, she goes in to give us all this, like, gun knowledge, and she also then, she can tell that he is far away. Okay, so they're in the middle of the road, basically. And there's a bunch of trees around, but there's a couple trees kind of, I don't know, like, off in the distance, but not, like, far back where the tree line is. And so you don't really know where he's coming from. But she's like, he's probably far enough away that he can't really hear us. And he's da da da. So she's, like, filling all these blanks for us. This is when Minky earlier was like, and then something even more stupid happens. We start hearing, like, wheezing sounds, and it's the girlfriend that got double shot in her eye, and she's apparently still alive. Apparently, this bullet, twice, two bullets in a head and
barely
a brain
alive.
And an eyeball.
Yeah.
She's, like, wheezing, and the boyfriend peeks around the corner, and he can see her, like, take her last breath and die.
Yeah.
And he freaks the fuck out, and he's like, I'm gonna kill you! Starts beating on the car. Remember, his shoulder is shot, so I don't know how he's beating on the car with a fucking shot shoulder.
So those, I don't know if we covered this, but those, that couple were the only true quote unquote couple.
Yeah, I said that.
Oh, you did?
I said they're the only two that know each other. And then when we said everyone else was paired off, it's because clearly the African-American guy had eyes for the hot chick, and then the muscle guy had made a nice comment to the redhead chick, the girl who had to get home for her sister's birthday. So anyway, right now is when the group is starting to try to figure out what to do, right? So no more gunshots are going on. It's very quiet, and they're all like, we should run. Somebody's like, no, like, we'll definitely, if we run, one of us is going to get shot.
Yeah, that was the black guy.
And they're yelling to the black guy, and the black guy goes, don't you think I know that? And it'll probably be me because I'm, you know, barely hidden. And he's like, I know that. And they're like, look, if you want to try to run, you go right ahead, but I'm not going to die. And maybe that's why they're strangers, because like no one's willing to die for the other. I don't know. But, you know, in any case, they decide not to run for it because they know they'll all get picked off one by one. So they're like, let's try to get a signal. And they're like, the signal's really bad. And this is, again, this is probably maybe the dumbest part, because we saw the girlfriend earlier had to walk really far out to get a signal. They're behind this car. And for whatever reason, he realizes if he lifts his hand up just past the car where the sniper would be able to shoot his hand, basically, that's where the signal comes in. Stupid as shit, right? Well,
it's just obvious.
Because we have millennials in the movie, the redhead chick is like, here, use this. And she pulls out a selfie stick from her back pocket.
Yeah.
Because that's what she would have on her. And he hands it to him. And so he pulls up the phone, puts his phone on the selfie stick.
It's taking forever.
Starts to lift it up. And the girl goes, wait, turn on voice activation. So if we do get a signal, we'll immediately call 911. So he lifts it up. They get a signal. It's like, not Siri, but it was like, phone, call 911. And it's like, boom, sniper hits the phone. Duh. Right? So then he's like, give me your phone. We'll try it again. And she's like, I'm not giving you my phone. Like, it's not going to work. He's just going to shoot it out
and
again.
And then he goes to like, he's just
and
yelling.
He's like, fine.
Yeah.
This is stupid, right? So then they come up with their next plan, which is to try to put the car in neutral. They want to like somehow get in, put the car in neutral. The problem is they need to push it up a hill in order to go in the direction of the signal.
Use the car as a
and
shield.
Use it as a shield. And basically the hot chick says to the boyfriend of the dead girl, look, your shoulder that you need to put into this is shot, so you're not really going to be able to help much, but you need to be the one to put it in neutral, and she and I will push this car up. We'll get right to the point where we can call
the car
and do the thing. The car is like
a Ford Expedition.
Yeah, it's like an old, it's an
SUV. Huge, huge car.
Yeah, so basically, as soon as the guy tries to get in, oh, and she goes, and by the way, if the car rolls backwards and gets away from us, we all die, you know? So, of course, I mean, as you might imagine, as soon as he opens up the passenger side car to try to get in and put the key in the ignition just to get it in order to put it in neutral, the guy's shooting through the car and he has to, you know, get out really fast. As he gets out, it's this really weird moment of clarity for him where he sees that the hot girl's wearing a hoodie, and he takes her hoodie and he like pulls it up over her head, and she's looking at him like, what are you touching me? And then we cut to the next scene and it's like Rambo style shit, right? Or not Rambo, it's MacGyver. They put, I don't know what they even used, but
to like prop it up.
Right. They take things.
It wasn't even prop it up. It was like
sticks or shit.
It was like on a hanger?
But where were they going to hang her?
Yeah, it was weird.
So they basically took her hoodie and they put it on something to make it look like a person so that they could stick it out the side of the back of the truck at the same time that he gets in. Right, like, here's a decoy.
Decoy, yeah.
And so they do it, not to be laborious.
And the other girl is on the other side of the car.
Recording with her phone.
She's sticking her hand out with the phone.
Just
video,
above
yeah.
the hood so that she can see where the gunshot is coming from when he shoots, right? So that they can figure out what tree he's posted up in. So anyway, the decoy works, which I find so stupid because this guy's got like long range binoculars, scope, everything. And how he shot at this thing for like three or four times.
Yeah, three, 4 times.
And I was like, first of all, there's no legs.
And it wasn't even like bam, 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 bam. It was like bam.
Bam.
And then wait a couple of seconds.
You're not dead yet.
Bam.
Yeah. Like, oh, why isn't this guy going down? And meanwhile, the guy does get the key in the ignition, but he does not have time before the guy starts shooting at him again to get it in neutral, right? So one step forward, not so close. Yeah. So basically, after that, the boyfriend guy, he Todd Acosta, by any means necessary, he sees the toolbox on the backside of the car. So he gets the toolbox, pulls off the hinges, the top of the toolbox, which if you guys know the blue metal toolboxes, they're thick metal. So he's kind of smart. He makes like an armor shield for his arm.
How did he? Yeah, okay.
But whatever. And he duct tapes it because duct tape is the theme
ripped
of today.
That, yeah, thing apart.
Rips it apart. So he puts it around his arm, da 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 da. Gets up. He does get the thing in neutral position. The shooter does shoot him, though. We don't know the extent of the issue or the wound. But so they start pushing the car. And of course, I mean, let me just get to it. it does not get to where they need it to be. And of course, it does start rolling backwards. It rolls over the guy's head.
The dead guy's head.
The first guy, the muscle guy.
Yeah.
Rolls
and they
backwards.
Show it. Like, it's so
smushes.
It's, yeah.
And then basically, you know, they stop hearing shots. And the one girl, the birthday sister girl, she just kind of sits down because she's so like frightened. She just sits down and she's like an open sitting duck. And basically the other girl goes, she shuts down.
Yeah.
And the other girl goes, he must be reloading. And so they want the black guy to start running.
She was not guessing when she said he must be reloading. Like, yeah.
Run. And so they tell the black guy to run. And of course he gets shot in like the Achilles tendon and he flies forward. And then the redhead girl does run because now she's scared again, runs up behind the truck again. And she's crying and she's like, oh my God, he used me. He used me. He was like, he made us think that he was reloading to pull, you know, the black guy like out of the tree stump area. And so she feels bad. Anyway, then the guy gets shot again in the leg as he's running or trying to get away. And and the girl who we said
he
knows how to survive.
Yeah,
he's out in the open. But the girl who we said knows how to survive is like, take your belt off, quick. Tie it around your thigh. Put your leg up in the air. And I'm like, if he sticks his leg up in the air, isn't he just going to shoot it off? Like, what the fuck?
It was good few minutes of her
just
yelling instructions out to him of how to
don't fall asleep. Stay awake.
Put a tourniquet on. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we then find out things calm down for a second. I think the black guy passes out. Maybe the toolbox armor did not work at this moment. The
toolbox shield, like a Captain America shield.
Hot MacGyver takes a hammer and a lighter, and she basically burns the flathead of the hammer to carterize his wound. He screams. Bloody murder. Right. Some more time goes by. We now see it is excruciatingly hot out and they're all dying of thirst.
And this is when he opens up, right?
He opens up the back door and he gets the water and, you know, they just have like another moment where...
Oh, I just meant the story, like his backstory.
Yeah, like they all drink the water. they're going through, like she goes, you need it more than we do because you're bleeding. And then she takes it after him and drinks like the rest of it, which was pretty stupid. and then they throw the water bottle to the black guy, right? And they're like, here, we're gonna throw this as far as we can. You need it. Of course, Eric, actually his name is, she winds up at this point saying his name. We've been calling him African-American guy and black guy the whole time. I'm sorry, but his name is Eric. And so they throw the bottle of water to him. He tries to get it. And just as he's lifting it up, even though when he was holding his leg in the air to not bleed out, the guy didn't shoot his leg. As soon as he tilts the bottle up to his face, as he's lying flat on his back, the guy shoots his hand. And Eric like, you know, now he's like, he passes out completely. And he's obviously like now even in more pain. And the chick again is yelling like, just don't pass out. This is when we see a clip shot to the guy in the tree. And this guy in the tree is eating beef jerky and drinking water, right? So it's like he takes Eric's water away, but now he's drinking water in his tree.
He's like laying down on one of the big branches.
Yeah.
And
chilling.
He just looks like a military sniper. He's got a ghillie suit.
Yeah.
Face painted.
Totally.
All you see his eyes.
Painted.
Yeah. His mouth is covered, right?
He has bright blue eyes. You can't see his face, though.
Yeah. And he's eating beef jerky.
Beef jerky, which as a hunter growing up.
And what was the other thing that he did?
I just told you it takes a drink of water.
Drink of water. Right.
So then it cuts again. At this point. I should have said, like, they did go back and revisit the camera. And so they do know what tree he's in. So at least they know what tree he's in, although that doesn't really help them a whole lot. It comes into play later.
Yeah.
Sorry. So basically, they go back and this is just so lame. I'm just going to quickly run through it. This is again to try to start to build this, as I call her, the main characters like that you care about her a little more. They look at that selfie that the girl had originally taken of them earlier in the day and she's looking at it and, you know, they're like, she goes, you got to be there. And so she's like remembering that the cute muscle guy said that to her about her sister's birthday party.
You got
to
be there.
And then she goes, surprise. And then she's like, happy birthday.
And they're also singing happy birthday.
And then they
birthday.
All sing happy birthday together. And it's so fucking lame.
It's so corny.
Oh, it's so corny. Now they're CGI crows at the same time eating the bodies.
Yeah. And bees.
And bees, not flies.
There was just hornets everywhere for some reason.
And then
blood.
And then the boyfriend guy goes, God, I can't even remember that guy's name, or the muscle guy. And he goes, I think it was Jeff. I feel like such a dick. And this is when he goes into his backstory,
which is even more awful.
Look, let's just get through it fast.
Yeah.
You know, this truck, I told you guys I bought it to hold my band equipment, but I didn't. I sold my bike and my other car to get this big car because Sarah, well, apparently her name was Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah was pregnant. I don't even know how it happened. I was like, sweetheart, it's called sex.
Yeah.
And then he's like, but we were so careful, but she was pregnant. And you know what? We were happy and we were going to make it work. So I bought this truck, took all of my money to get this so we could put a car seat in the baby. And he goes, and then one day she went to the doctors and the baby had died. And you go,
oh my God, they're showing
that he has nothing else to live for.
And it's like he goes, the part of that that was really funny was he had a car.
Yeah.
But then he went and got a gigantic car for their one baby.
Right. Just a baby. Like, did you really need to get that? And he and his girlfriend were pretty small people, too. I don't really know.
And they made a reference to the fact that the car in the beginning, the car holds six people.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, wow, this car
holds
whatever.
Everybody. Yeah. So anyway, all to basically, and Minky totally called it, just to be like, he's got nothing else to live for. He's been trying to save himself the whole time. Now he's just going to wander out.
Yeah, he's like,
so he wanders out and he just like walks aimlessly without any purpose. And I go, this guy's a dick. If he's ready to die, he should at least tell the ladies he's about to walk out from the car so that he can be a decoy and let them try to run. But he doesn't, right? So he just gets up and they're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he walks over to his girlfriend and he takes a jacket and he lays it over her eye that's been shot out so that her only, like, he's such an asshole, right? Like, he wants to cover up the ugly side of her face now. And then he kisses her on the pretty side. and then he's like, I wrote the good side of her face. Like, he kisses the good side.
Was that the actual actress too, do you think, that was laying down, or did you think
that was the actress? And that, because they had the jacket covering it when they did the close-up. And at this point you think he's just given up, but then we have to have some weird scene where Eric, the African-American guy, he wakes up for a moment and he starts to see movement in the tall grass behind him.
This is so bizarre.
It's so bizarre. It's a weird scene, but really quick, it's a wild dog. I thought it was the guy on foot.
Which made more sense. Yeah. Like, he's moving locations.
I thought he was trying to move locations because basically this was on the other side of the truck. So I thought he was trying to post up so he could shoot them.
Yeah.
But instead, it's a wild dog that just like trots up to Eric. And Eric, like, turns to his stomach and just, like, so slowly and sweetly, while the boyfriend's watching from afar and the girls are watching from the truck, like, he touches this dog's paw, like, leg. And then he
thought the wolf was going.
I thought it was just going to start eating him.
Yeah, me too.
But instead, then we're like.
They lock eyes, remember?
Wait, yeah.
The wolf and the.
But the boyfriend stands up because he was sitting down next to the girlfriend. So he stands up when this dog happens and the girls are like. There's a dog, or like something's happening. And when the boyfriend stands up, the dog runs away because we hear a car coming. All right.
Well, he sees the car.
And also we see Eric take his last breath.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
And so the boyfriend sees a car, turns, and then all of a sudden, instead of him wanting to, like, you know, walk out into the open and die, now it's like he has a breath of, or like a moment of hope again. And he goes, first he goes, all right, let's get this over with. And then that's when he sees the car and he stops saying with. Yeah. And the car's like flying down the road, even though it takes it like 17 Forever. Minutes in the movie to get to this spot. But he, I don't know why, but he sits down on the ground as he sees this car coming towards them. And he, boom, gets shot. And then he falls flat backwards. And it was like Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
They were laying exactly.
Holding hands. Remember?
Holding hands.
Yeah.
And so the car is coming and the girls are screaming. So the car's coming up and the driver is
Asian.
She's it doesn't matter, but yeah, she's Asian.
Oh, good detail.
Yeah, so that there's a, she keeps saying, Dad, wake up. Her older male father, redundant, is sitting in the passenger seat sleeping. There's a young girl who we find out is her younger sister in the back seat, and she's like, Dad, because she can see this truck up ahead, and then it's just chaos kind of. And she's like, Dad. And she's driving and she starts to slow down, and as she does, she gets shot through the front windshield into the hand, and it blows three of her fingers
off.
Two
fingers off, yeah.
And she starts screaming, and then she just like floors it, right?
They're all screaming at her hand and looking at it. It's like flapping. Yeah, it's like, multiple cuts of going,
right, like over and over. The little sister got sprayed in the face with blood. She wakes up.
And that wakes her up.
The car then speeds into, of course, the truck, and does the thing where like the two side tires drive up and like flips over. We see bodies fly out of the window.
Everyone ran away too. They're like, car, and they ran away.
Kind
from
of, just to get away from it for a moment. And essentially, it rolls over the other bodies. Like we have to roll over bodies again.
It was funny. Yeah.
We see a aerial shot of that happening.
Yeah.
And then the poor driver woman, she crawls out of the heap of the mess of the car being overturned. She stands up and she's like, she is literally like the Terminator. She gets shot in the torso, I swear to God, four or five times, and she never falls down until finally the fifth one like takes her out.
She was trying to get to her sister.
Right. And then the girls are screaming from behind the truck again. They're like, oh my God, no, stop, stop. Then the father pops up from the other side of the car, and they're like, get down, take cover, there's a sniper. And he's like, what? I can't even hear you. So he pulls his phone out, and you can't tell if he makes a call or not. And then the sniper, he starts trying to shoot this guy, and the guy realizes there's a sniper.
Yeah.
And then the sniper can't hit him, so he decides to just like shoot the gas tank. So what do you think happens? The car blows up, of course. Then
but the girls do tell him to call 911, right?
Well, he did it on his own. He can't hear them at all, and they can't hear him. So the car blows up. The guy catches on fire. He starts wandering over, falls into one of the other dead bodies, lights that body on fire. I mean, this is insane, right? And then the whole car is literally lit up. He at some point before he died was screaming to them, go get my other little daughter. Please save my little daughter.
Yeah.
So after all that happens, the little daughter starts to come to because she flew out of the car and into the grass. She sits up for a second and they were like, hey, hey. And then the sniper takes her out. So she had no chance.
Yeah.
So basically, we have a moment of the two ladies now saying, the two girls saying, okay, that car's on fire. See how much smoke is coming off of it?
Another ridiculous scene.
She goes, we need to create a lot of smoke so that we can get away. He won't be able to see us through the smoke. So basically, again, MacGyver scene. They start ripping out like tire. Okay. They literally start cutting with box cutters.
She pulls out a box cutter from the toolbox.
Yeah.
And she punctures the tire. At first, I'm like, oh, that's impossible. But whatever. It's a movie. I give it that.
Right.
And then they took it to another level when they start cutting pieces out from the tire, like little pieces.
Totally.
And they montage real quick.
Yep.
They go through all the cutting the tires, starts cutting the seats, whatever. And they flash back. And remember, I was going, there's no way they can get all those pieces out. Like, why don't you just cut something else?
Right.
And they flash to the tire. And the tire, it's like a honeycomb. It's like multiple holes everywhere.
So many holes. And the tire's not really flat either. It's so weird.
Are you kidding? There's no way they could have done that with a box cutter.
Yeah, right. So they put all the tire chunks and all the seat chunks that they've created on the back seat of the car for whatever reason, and they light it on fire.
They light it on fire.
So then there's a lot of smoke happening, and it's like,
the tire smoke is toxic. Try not to inhale it.
No, she said. So then, and then the guy starts shooting a ton. He just like opens up fire, and she goes, he's so pissed at us right now. She's like, here, come into.
I can tell by the gun. The holes, he's angry.
He's so angry. The holes are getting bigger. So she's like, here, hide in front of the engine area, like the front of the car. And she goes, there's more things in the engine to block his bullets. We'll sit here. She goes, but if he shoots it, there's going to be a lot of fumes. So tie your face up with this t-shirt. So they both have their faces tied up.
Toxic.
And they look at each other and they're like, we're in this together. And it's like, okay, well, she goes, what's going to happen?
We're together, right?
Right. Look, maybe that guy did call 911. Maybe it went through. And like soon after, a fucking cop car does roll up.
Do we say that it's nighttime at this point?
It's nighttime. And P.S. So now their smoke is smoking. It's starting to smoke. Yeah. The other car's still on fire. The cop cars roll off. They turn off their lights. And I'm like, do they know what they just pulled in on? And yes, the exposition moment again is the cops go, the guy said there was a sniper out here.
Yeah.
So they do know there's a sniper. Then the camera flips back. It's just two cops in a pickup truck in the front seat. Then there's two guys posted up in the back of the pickup with sniper rifles.
Yeah.
And they are like ready to go. And so they're like, we're in a perfect position right now. They
look like militias. Yeah.
And then they're like, but wait, we should call state. So then they call state and they're like, state, we need more state cops. We need more backup. We got a sniper out here. These kids aren't going to survive long if we don't get to them. Right. So it's so stupid. So basically the driver, who's like this badass, big bald head man, he goes, give me that. And he's like, listen. And all of a sudden he gets taken out by a bullet. So the sniper hits him through the mouth in his jaw. And then because his jaw gets shot off, apparently his foot just decides to go scoop. And puts it on the gas, and they just go flying, and they run into one guy falls off the truck. One of the snipers off the back. Then they fly, and they fly into the car that was overturned. Right, so the truck is still over to the side. They fly into the truck. The car stops. The three cops come back together. And at this moment, the smoke is all over the air. That the girls look at each other and they're like, together, right? Well,
we have to do the body count. The guy who fell off the truck, remember, he gets up to shoot, but then he gets shot in the head. So he's dead.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So we've got the passenger seat. And now just
three cops left. Yeah.
Two cops.
Three cops. There's four. One falls off.
One got killed. So now there's only two.
One falls off, but he doesn't get killed until he gets up to shoot.
So there's only two left now. The driver got killed. There's two left now after he got shot. Oh. Right? God, mathematics. Okay. So listen, now that that's settled, so basically the girls are like, let's run now. Now's our chance. I don't think we can count on these cops, like, you know, saving the day.
Keystone cops.
Right. And so they were like, let's run. And for whatever reason, happy birthday sister girl freezes. Well, save your life girl takes off running. And
this is the bizarre part, right?
And she runs and runs and runs. And it's like the smoke. She hits the point where the smoke is no longer, and she just freezes. And she's standing there in this like moment of clear sky, and she's like, and then she goes to take off running again towards the woods, and boom.
No, she turns.
She kind of turns, but she turns. But she doesn't. She runs into the woods.
And it looked like she turned around back.
It's like she briefly paused, but then she kept going towards the wood line, and she got fucking hit in the back of the head.
This character who acts like a main character.
Yeah, dead.
Who knows everything. Totally just dead. Dies. Yep. Boom. Oh, she's dead.
So she's gone. So basically, it's so annoying that like that happened. So then the only person from the carpooling group of college students now is happy birthday sister girl, and she's freaking out. She's behind the truck, and when the two cops that are alive, which we just counted three times, when they're behind the cop car, she takes a moment behind the smoke and runs over to them behind the cop truck. And she's like, they're over that way. And then they were like, yeah, he's at 11 o'clock. So the two cops stand up and they're trying to shoot.
Fire.
They open fire, shoot. And we see into the tree that they're doing everything. Oh, sorry about that. The dog's they are very, very close, but they do not hit him.
No, they don't. They miss.
So they miss.
Yeah. But then he fires back
and shoots the one. So now we have one cop left, and he's like the nerdiest cop of the bunch. And this guy grabs like the high powered like automatic or semi-automatic rifle, and
from the other guy,
and he just like starts like walking really fast, just like out in the open, like I'm gonna kill this guy.
Yeah, like a boss. And like he's like what is it? He's putting things on.
Yeah,
he's strapping it on, and he's like, okay, this is it. I'm gonna get him.
And he has about 20 seconds of that before he gets taken out right in the chest. And this is what I'm saying, like, oh, now the sniper rifle's bullet just like blows this guy's chest up,
and he has a bulletproof vest
and
on.
He has a bulletproof vest
and
on.
It just opens it up, right? Like, he's just got shot by a cannon.
This antique gun apparently can blow up. What the fuck? Really. So that sucks. And so now literally the final girl is the final girl.
It's just her now. The guy's dead. It's just her. And she jumps into the truck and she takes control. And she takes control and she's zigzagging down the road, right? And the guy's shooting at her. Well, boom, boom, boom.
And not even down the road. Truck. Like she cuts into like the field that he's in. She's like boom, 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 like bumping around, and she's just like
he's taking shots at her, and now he's like horrible.
And he shoots her in her shoulder.
Arm, yeah.
Right. And so she grabs it, but she keeps driving, and she's like totally like hell-bent on hitting the tree that he's in, which I'm like, the tree is so big. We've seen it a million times. This is like the biggest, oldest tree imaginable. A pickup truck hitting it ain't gonna do shit. Well, anyway, they made it. Yeah. Yeah, like it shows like it barely hits it. I mean, clearly they didn't really ram a truck into it with the tree.
Sure.
And he falls from the tree.
Like, he falls out and then a little like a thing catches him.
Because he's been hinged. A little rope, like he hinged himself for safety, as any good hunter should, whilst in a tree stand. And he falls out and he's hanging from this rope.
He's cutting now, it and he's like,
and
like
she gets out of the car and she's looking around and she sees his rifle, his bolt action. Yep. Oh, God, I think it's a rifle. Falls to the ground, and she grabs it just as he's got his huge hunting knife to cut himself down. So he falls, boom, falls to the ground. He stands up, and not only that, but he falls on top of the truck. And, like, the lighting and everything is so, like, crazy. He's standing on top of this truck like this huge, like, monster in his, you know.
And
his
music changes.
And his crazy gear,
and he's,
you know,
introduced, quote, unquote, introduced. Like,
I said
Jason.
Like, Jason Voorhees, right? On top. And then he, like, jumps, you know, straight down off of the truck onto the ground. And he's, like, face to face with her as she's, like, fumbling. Clearly, she's never shot a gun before.
That's fine.
But she's, like, she gets
But he's, like, walking up to her with a knife.
Walking up to her with a knife really slowly, though. And slow enough so that she actually does get the bolt, you know, like, does the thing, loads the, shoots. Whatever you want to call it. Oh, my God, totally losing all my terminology here. And she shoots. And she shoots him in the torso. Yeah. And it takes, in the stomach, actually. I think it was,
multiple
like, right
places,
here.
Yeah.
And then it only slows him down. She shoots him, like, 3 times in the torso.
More than that.
It was like 3 or 4. He finally falls to the ground and he's on his back. And she walks up and she's going to shoot him one last time.
And then the bullet jams.
But not even the bullet jams. It's like she can't even get the bolt action thing into place, right? Yeah. She's like fucking with it. And she's like freaking out. And then she notices a million tally marks all over the butt of the gun. The whole entire thing is covered in tally marks.
Yeah.
And so it's like you see.
But on the other side, there's like 5?
No, they were all up
no,
and down.
No, I know. And then she flips it over.
She just happens to pay attention to the last like
on the
amount.
Other side. She flips it over.
It's stupid. It makes no sense.
And she's like having flashbacks with stranger friends.
Yeah, stranger friends. So it's like a flashback of all the people that got shot off today. And it's all just, like I said, there should be character development or like character arcs.
Yeah.
Her character arc is like, I used to be a scaredy cat. Now I'm a vengeful, crazy beast.
So
she sees
the 5 notch marks and she goes into a rage mode.
Because the bullet's not working, she decides to bash his motherfucking head in. She does.
She bashes his head in.
And guess
three,
what,
four
guys?
Three, four times.
Like, to a mushy mess, right? Yeah. And I was I don't even think that this happens with a human head, but I need like a Mythbusters to tell me. And then, hey, guys, guess what?
On the last hit,
there's a twist.
I don't think it's that much of a twist.
She's not even the final girl. You know why?
She is.
Because as she's holding the barrel of the gun and beating him with the butt of it, that moment.
Everyone
that
knows what you're saying.
That moment that it jammed.
Stop building it up. Just say it.
It shot her in the fucking throat. And I was like, that's a perfect storm of like, okay, the bolt actually went into place and the trigger was pulled. She wasn't holding onto the trigger. I don't even understand.
But you know, sometimes like when a you would think like a rifle falls or drops, it will go off, right? Certain guns. And I think that's what they were trying to show. But it does go off.
It's so
and
lame.
Then it strikes her in the neck.
So ridiculous.
And she like falls over and she's crying and laughing at the ridiculousness of it all.
You said she's laughing. It cuts to black and you heard her like.
Like it was kind of a laughter and like, yeah, it was. It was
that's
like,
weird. Yeah. Well, anyway.
That's what I thought too. That's what stood out for me.
So that's the end.
And it goes to black.
So look, guys. We weren't lying to you. There's not a lot of story. It's all gory. It's gory, no story. The evolution.
The plot is downwind.
Yeah, the plot. The plot is like a bad fart that just flies past your nose.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of ridiculous. I said to Hugh, I was like, this is the quintessential like, excuse me, all sizzle, what? No steak kind of movie.
Yeah.
It has a lot, like I said, I have a lot of...
action piece after another action piece.
Yeah. I mean, I give the dude credit for, you know, all of his passion for filmmaking. And, you know, we didn't even talk about, like, there's a couple scenes, like we said, where it's like he's got the camera attached to something where he's like rotating it as the guy's like twisting the tire iron. So it's like the camera's literally turning around like in rotation. And then when she goes into her fit of rage, he does all kinds of things in camera and in post to make it like a really rage moment for
her. They attach the camera to the butt of the gun. And, she was, and so
it's like fast cuts, you know? Yeah. And he has like these, you can tell it's like a light with a red filter on it that's like shining on her to show her like in this rage state. Sure. I mean, he does like some cool things. But you can't have all these, like, I don't know, pieces of movie magic, but you don't really have a great story that literally nobody cares about. I couldn't care less about these characters.
Yeah. Nope.
But
I cannot either.
But was it at least fun to watch?
It was fun because you were there and we were just sitting next to each other and we were making fun of the whole thing.
We're like stranger friends.
That's why we're eating.
Eating 6-layer, not 7-layer bean dip.
Yeah.
Just 6. I don't know what that 7-layer is.
Just 6.
Anyway, I think if you want to watch a movie where you don't really have to feel for anybody and you just want to watch a bunch of people get picked off, go ahead and check it out.
If you want to just like, if you're like, you know, when you have TV in the background as you're doing chores in the house, like you're
perfect,
like you're cleaning a toilet,
you don't
or
really
something,
need to hear the dialogue.
You know, you're like, oh god, all the pee stains on the toilet or something. Yes.
Oh my god, you just sold this one real good. and remember what I told you guys before in the beginning, that his other movie's called No One Lives, and it's about a cross country thing. I'm like, this is his thing. Like,
Chase,
No One Lives.
Chase, what? We have to watch that one though. Right?
No One Lives.
Yeah.
Next movie after A Quiet Place. Sold.
No, I'm not saying we should review it. I'm just saying we should
watch it.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. I'm down.
Out of curiosity.
Well, listen, guys, we are gonna get off of here.
You have to go. You have to get ready.
I do. I got a thing.
Take a shower. Put makeup on.
I know. Definitely. I took a shower for you, but I do have and deodorant. But I do have to put my makeup on.
Oh, I have to take a shower. I have to go home and take a shower.
So listen, we appreciate you listening to us and tuning in.
It was fun times.
Yeah.
One final fun time.
This was a good one. I liked it.
Oh, the episode?
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, it's like self-patting.
Self-patting.
That's a...
Yeah.
Sounds vaguely sexual. Self-patting.
On that note, where can they reach us?
They can reach us at onefinalscare@gmail.com to email us their thoughts about our podcast or if they have any movies that they want us...
Oh, we have to read Ryan's letter next time.
Oh, Ryan wrote us a letter?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll read it next time. Yeah. We'll bring that jingle back. But yeah, if you want to email us and maybe Minky will tell me that you emailed us, if you checked it first and then, and if you want to recommend a movie to us, you can, email us or, I don't know, post something. I think it's just post something.
Just
like
post
tag
something.
Us,
follow
do
us
whatever
on Instagram.
You want. I don't care what you do.
Leave a comment.
Yeah. Leave a comment. Yeah. And then, follow us on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
just search One Final Scare.
Just search
you'll
us.
You'll find us.
You'll find us wherever.
That's right.
And I think you can truly actually find us anywhere now. You can go to our webpage so you can listen to us at onefinalscare.com, where all the episodes are up. But of course, if you have your favorite podcast listening app, you can continue to use that as well.
Yep. And this is Minky.
And this
that's
is
Tracy.
I'm Tracy. We're not stranger friends. We're just friends. Bye.
Bye.